I can be a winning Ryder Cup captain away, so is an exceptionally big deal, and it adds a lot to my legacy.
For the best Ryder Cup build-up reaction and exclusive interviews, go to otbsports.com/golfweekly and become an official friend of the pod now.
Now, Dermot Corrigan is with us at 8:55 this morning. Dermot, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, Ger, how's it going? Well,
yeah, good. We wanted to talk to you about the situation at Barcelona at the moment, because we're watching the collapse of an empire, and you've got a front row seat for it. So what is the actual sense in Spain about how low this is going to get before they start to kind of make some sort of a comeback?
Yeah, people around Barcelona, people around Barcelona are very worried and very scared at the minute about what's coming down the line, or what the situation is at the minute. Like, everybody kind of knew that Barca were in trouble. You know, the president had to resign last year. Laporta came in with a lot of optimism. But they've kind of hit the wall. Since Messi left in the summer, the team, there's just nobody in the team anymore who can play to the level that Barcelona fans want. And at the minute, there's a lot of people pointing fingers at each other. Koeman is saying, well, it's not my fault, I don't have the players anymore. Some of the players aren't happy with the tactics that the team are playing under Koeman. Laporta and Koeman are having this kind of strange public exchange of views over the direction the team should take. A lot of the fans, the kind of influential socios around the club, are really upset at the direction things are going, and everything is just looking very, very doom and gloom. And last night against Granada, just kind of embarrassing for Barca. You know, they conceded early in the game and they weren't able to get back into it at all. They ended up, you know, knocking lots of long balls into the box. They brought Piqué on to play as a centre forward for the last 15 minutes and ended up getting an equaliser with a header in injury time. But that's not how Barca are supposed to go about things. That's not how Barca fans see themselves at all. Afterwards, there was a lot of recriminations. Koeman was defending himself in the press conference. The mood is just not good.
It's like they made some Faustian pact with the devil, where it was like, we will see the greatest football that has ever existed for a short period of time, then after that we'll pay. But now the reckoning is coming, and it turns out that you've got to pay a very severe price. And I don't know, I guess it'll always be worth it, and that they saw some of the greatest football that we've ever seen. But I don't think anybody thought it was going to get as bad as it is now. And the trouble is that this isn't really the bottom, is it? There's a strong possibility that this team won't finish in the top four.
Yeah, like, in a way, they wasted what they had. They had such a great team. And, you know, for Xavi and Iniesta and Messi and everybody to come along at the same time is great fortune. You know, you can't expect that to happen all the time. But they had everything set up. They had the best production of young players in the world. They had a team that everybody wanted to join. All the other top players around the world wanted to join. They had loads of money. They were making lots of money based off the success that they had. And they just squandered everything. You know, young players haven't, over the last decade or so, no young player really has come through. They kind of lost faith in their La Masia academy. They squandered loads of money on players. Like Griezmann, they spent 120 million on, then they loaned him back to Atletico last summer. Coutinho came on last night for his first start in about a year. He was pretty awful. Dembele, they spent another 100 million on as well. He's been injured again. He's always injured. And you know, the players like Luke de Jong, who they signed, a striker who was Sevilla backup striker, who they signed at the last minute in the window. And Barca fans are going, like, this isn't our club. This isn't our team. But it is the reality at the minute. And as you say, like, they are, instead of like fighting to win the Champions League this season, the fight is now to try and get back into it next year. And the way things are going at the minute, you wouldn't bet on them.
Dermot, are Barcelona fans, like, I don't know how, I guess, patient fans in Spain are compared to fans in England or even in Ireland here. Like, to look around the Nou Camp last night and see the empty seats, and I know there's still, I think, a cap on maybe 30,000 fans allowed in stadiums, and but there was still, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 less than that in the Nou Camp last night. For a stadium like that, the size of it, to see as many empty seats was quite disarming. I mean, are Barcelona fans just not showing up at the moment, or what's the attitude?
Yeah, Barca is a unique club in a way in how connected a lot of the fans are to the club, you know, because so many of them are members of the club as well, the socios. A lot of them live around the area and go to the games. A lot of the kind of the most, I call them senior socios, but the people who've been there all the way through are there. And I wasn't there last night, but I was at the Bayern game last week. And again, you know, it was Bayern were coming, but they didn't sell out. Even within the limitations from COVID, you know, a lot of seats were still left empty. And during the game, there was this kind of debate going on, or it felt like there was a debate going on amongst the fans. There are lots of them who are like, you know, we are Barca, we need to play a certain way. They don't even mind, or they say anyway, they don't mind losing, but they need to play with their own style. And that would mean, you know, playing the same tactics as you used to play under Guardiola. It would mean using a lot of players from the youth system who've grown up playing the same style, playing the tiki-taka kind of idea that they kind of know it ingrained in themselves. And they might not be the best players in the world, but they'll, when they all come together and play together, they can play above themselves and they can give a good show. And if it's not good enough to beat Bayern, then that's okay. But it would have been good enough to beat Granada, say, last night. There are others, and Koeman is definitely in this, who say they're more pragmatic and more realistic about it. And they say, look, we don't have the players to play that way anymore. This is modern football has changed. You need different characteristics in players. You can't get away with it the way they used to. And we need to sign, whether it's Luke de Jong or Aguero on a free transfer, or the other players that they've signed in recent years. And that kind of debate is really going on amongst the fans at the minute. That on both sides are very kind of, you know, they get very emotional about it. They get very committed to the debate. It gets very kind of difficult and strained. And then the team have to try and play within that atmosphere. Koeman isn't dealing with it very well. He's you know, coming out looking very upset. Laporta, the president, is, you know, very charismatic guy, or we know him as a very charismatic guy, but he's kind of struggling at the minute. Doesn't look like he has a plan to move forward. And, you know, it's just a kind of depressing situation for a lot of Barca fans at the minute.
Like, I know he has a lot of injury concerns at the moment, and that's fair enough. Probably a legitimate excuse when you see some of the names that are out. And he's been a bit unlucky, Koeman, in that regard. But is he a bit reluctant to play young players? Like, is there a Mourinho-esque kind of feel? I know there's kind of rumours in Spanish newspapers that he's almost being instructed to play some of these La Masia graduates and kind of reluctant to do it. Like, is that something that has followed Koeman around a bit, that he's maybe a little bit more reluctant to play some of the Barcelona youngsters than maybe perhaps some other managers would be?
Again, there's a debate about that. If you ask Koeman himself, he will say that, look, I put in Pedri last year. Pedri, you know, was signed by Barca just over 12 months ago, came from Segunda Division side Las Palmas, was 17, you know, fitted into the team straight away. And Koeman had trust in him. And then we saw Pedri at the Euros last summer, how quickly he advanced. There are, you know, last night he gave La Liga debut to a 17-year-old left back, Balde, who looks a good player. He brought on Gavi, another 17-year-old. He says, look, I am showing faith in these young players. The contra view to that is that he doesn't have faith in the model of Barcelona, that the way that Barcelona need to play. And all these young players have been brought up playing the same way, and Koeman brings them into the team and then asks them to do something completely different that they're not used to. And there are some people who say that he doesn't really have faith in the young players, but he's using it as a shield for himself, saying, look, I'm putting in these young guys. You have to be patient. I'm the one who's showing faith in La Masia. But then not everybody believes that. So again, as with everything at Barca, there's a huge debate around it. People spend a lot of time talking about it, arguing about it, while at the same time the team is getting worse and worse.
Who is the potential successor that's obvious? Is there one already in the club, or would this be the time where they're asking one of the former legends to come back and essentially save the club? Because it feels like they're too broke at the moment to sack Koeman, but Koeman's not there for the long term.
Yeah, Koeman, like last summer, at the end of last season, Barca won the Copa del Rey last season, but then their La Liga campaign fell away, kind of ironically enough, with a loss to Granada, who they were playing again last night. And Laporta very clearly declined to give Koeman a vote of confidence. Spent about 2 weeks looking around to see who else could come in. Xavi Hernandez, who everybody knows is going to be a Barca coach at some stage, who's in Qatar at the moment, was there. I'm pretty sure would have taken over the job. Laporta decided against it. Had a look at other people who were around, like Allegri, people at that kind of level who are, you know, renowned coaches around Europe, but who don't have Barca DNA, as they say, and then decided to stick with Koeman when he couldn't find a better replacement, because Barca don't have money. You know, people are talking about Antonio Conte, who, you know, a coach with a huge track record of success, but who always demands lots of money and lots of power from the board. He wants to sign lots of players, and Barca just can't do that. It looks like the bridges have been burned a bit with Xavi, and Xavi's in Qatar, and I don't see him coming back at the minute. The purists around Barca would have appointed the Barca B coach last year, who is Garcia Pimienta, who's a former Barca player from the 1990s, his career was cut short by injuries, and he spent about 15 years in La Masia, working his way up from the very bottom up to the varsity, and did well with them, developed a lot of the young players who they'd like to see come in. But he was sacked last summer by Laporta, who put in Sergi, the left back from Koeman's former teammate. He could take over maybe as a replacement, but then he doesn't have a great record coaching in La Liga. Jordi Cruyff is around the club. He came back into the club last summer and is in a kind of advisory role to Laporta. But Cruyff says he won't take over from Koeman. He's gone on the record to say, Koeman's my friend. I know him very well. I'm not here to take his job. So it's kind of in a situation where everybody knows that Koeman isn't the best coach for Barca at the minute, that both within and outside the club, they prefer somebody else to come in. But the situation is that they can't find somebody or can't afford somebody or can't attract somebody to take over from them. So it's kind of a limbo situation at the minute.
Okay. A quick word about the situation at Real Madrid, because obviously Real Madrid have had their own fairly similar political issues and some financial issues, but nowhere near as bad, it seems, certainly publicly, as Barcelona's. And yet they've been able to produce a winning side, and some of their young players are starting to emerge as the genuine superstars that we thought they might be. Vinicius in particular is in great form at the moment. So I suppose with everything, they're always comparing each other to each other, and certainly Real Madrid have the upper hand at the moment.
Yeah, Madrid fans very happy at the minute, both on both counts, to see Barca struggling and for things to be going Madrid's way. Ancelotti has come back to the club again. Ancelotti wasn't everybody's maybe first choice to replace Zidane when Zidane left again last summer, but is a kind of safe pair of hands, knows the club really well, was happy to come back, is willing to work within the restrictions, the finances, and work with Florentino Perez. And he's doing the best he can with what he has. But they haven't been playing very well at all. They've been quite lucky maybe in games, but then the kind of Madrid way, or what they say, is that we don't have to play brilliantly all the way through. We don't have to play like Barca, but at the end we'll find a way to win the game. They did it in Milan last week at Inter in the Champions League, and again at the weekend at Valencia, were outplayed for most of the game. But Vinicius and Benzema scored, and Vinicius has been amazing. 5 goals in 5 games this season, after 5 goals in 59 games leading up to that, which is, we'll have to see whether that run can continue. But again, it's Ancelotti. He's able to relax people, to give confidence, to get them just comfortable in themselves. He's done a great job with Vinicius, and just generally compared to Koeman, who's fighting with people, who's upset, fans are upset with him, Barca, everybody is at each other's throats. Ancelotti comes in, calms everything down, gets the team playing in a recognisable way, trusts in the quality of his players, and it's true also they just have better players than Barca at the minute.
I just wanted to ask you before we wrap about Leo Messi being subbed off by Mauricio Pochettino. None of us are used to seeing this. None of us are used to seeing him on the bench at any stage, really. What has the perception of that move been like so far in Spain, and what do you think?
It's like Pochettino hadn't studied Messi's career at all up until now. Former Barca coaches, all of them learned very, very quickly that you have to play Messi whenever he wants to play. Even Pep Guardiola, Luis Enrique, guys who won Champions Leagues with Messi at certain times, learned what happens if you leave him out of the team, even if it seems to be for his own good, to avoid injury or because he's tired or whatever, or just needs a rest. And Messi always just needed to play. It was surprising to see Pochettino do it. I guess maybe Pochettino feels that he needs to keep everybody happy in the squad or maybe, motivate Messi or whatever, but it's a dangerous way to go down. It hasn't worked out well for any Barca coach who tried to do it in the past. And I imagine just from looking at the images of Messi's face and just what went on there, that it's going to be a tricky one for Pochettino to manage in the future.
It seems like it's a pissing contest, and the world global superstar, who's the greatest footballer of all time, I would suspect will tend to win those.
Yeah, that's what has always happened at Barcelona. There were many within Barcelona who wondered if Messi, just because of exactly what we're talking about here, if it was maybe better for him not to be there anymore, considering the work that they need to do, that there's always so much that comes with having Messi around. He's been amazing. He scores an amazing amount of goals. Even in recent years, he reinvented himself as more of a playmaker, but also got lots of goals as well. And you just kind of have to live with what he brings you outside of that, with the personality that he has and the difficulties in man management that are there. Barca, there were people, and there are still people who wonder whether everything was stage managed last summer in order to move him out without it rebounding too badly on Laporta or on Koeman. And they're now looking at it going like, well, this is Paris Saint-Germain's problem now and Pochettino's problem now, and happy that they're not having to deal with it.
It turns out they can't, or they certainly aren't dealing with it very well so far. Dermot, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thanks, Dermot.
Dermot Corrigan, give us his thoughts there.